Of course, also for me, it's a great pleasure that the organizer decided to invite me. So I thank so much. And today, I will talk on something which is also a little bit original. In particular, in the title you saw, I put weakly interacting bosons in a disorder lattice. And I immediately would like to give credit to the group of people that now in Florence is concentrating on on this field under the guidance of Giovanni Modugno, and then you see here Giacomo Roati, and then we have Matteo Zaccanti, who now actually is in Innsbruck, and Michele Modugno, who is our theorist. After two talks on disorder, I don't need to tell that disorder is important and why, because it's ubiquitous in nature, and so on. And then there are open questions, dimensionality, stroke-related systems, and so on. And today you will see part of my talk will be exactly devoted to this interplay of disorder and interactions, which is also the topic which was addressed to you by Jorah in a sense in the previous work. So after two speakers producing disorder with the speckles, now we started with speckles, but now we switch to a different way of producing disorder, which is the system which is called bichromatic optical lattice. And since all of us are trying to do a little bit of history, maybe it would also be nice to remind that many of the authors of this paper, which somewhat opened the story of disorder, Bose, Anderson, Glasses, and so on, were introduced in this field exactly talking in optical lattices. And then starting from two years after, I would say, this paper that started a sort of a list of different results. So you see the Anderson localization that Alain was already talking here in Paris with the speckles and in Palaiseau. No, it was in Orsay actually. So it's La Provence. Etienne La Provence, Etienne Pampa, was not in Paris, was Ambarlier. And then, okay, this is the work. And then, as already several times has been reminded, now this kind of physics is spread out, all over the world.
I mean, it's no longer localized.
So, what is the bichromatic? I just want to remind you what is the bichromatic optical lattice. It's a lattice which is made by a regular, I would say, German-style optical lattice, where you add something with a wavelength which is in a ratio with the previous one, far from being, a good ratio, and then as a consequence, you have this scrambling of the optical lattice. So just again to stay with the introduction given by Bill Phillips, also again, I would say that this is our non-standard, optical lattice. This is an interesting story, which, by the way, we introduced it in order to search for some evidence of a Bose glass, so working with rubidium condensate, so strongly interacting systems. And that, if you remember, that situation we were working on tubes, and these are the two wavelengths that were superimposed in order to try to produce this Bose glass. And the idea was looking at this generic diagram of what can happen was to move from the Mott phase that has been reminded several times, even looking now at the single atoms, localized state by state, to move, if you want, adding disorder to the system, trying to reach the Bose-Glass, in this way. And indeed, if you do like this, you actually scramble the energy, the inside energy of the of our lattice, and then if you measure the gap, the possibility of going from one side to the other one, you see that you go to a flat situation. So this was not a claiming for the Bose-Glass, but was if you want towards the Bose-Glass, because actually everything was consistent with the Bose-Glass. Insulating system, showing no interference, no coherence, but at the same time not even the typical gap. So this was the story. And then the story continues as follows. So practically, we were working, many of us, we were working here in this region of the strong interacting atoms. And so to see Anderson insulator, as it was reminded by Alain in his talk, we need to go to a non-interacting system. So essentially, we had to find a way to go to a non-interacting system and try to see whether it was possible to observe Anderson localization. Now, as already shown this morning, the Anderson paper exactly talks of a certain random optical lattice, and the idea is the tight bounding model that you can jump from one side to the other, and now the impurities will scramble the inside energy. And so the prediction was that for a certain value of disorder, compared to the tunneling energy of the system, we should have this phase transition. Now, our system is not exactly the Anderson model, simply because the scrambling of the energy here is quasi-periodic. Every four or five size, we repeat. So being in an ideal system is not, homogeneous system would not really be the Anderson. However, this system is described by the Aubry-André model, which has an Hamiltonian describe the system, and is an interesting system by itself, because while we just understood that in an ideal system we should not have a localization for any amount of disorder in 1D, instead the Aubry-André model predicts an Anderson localization for a finite value of delta, which is a disorder, when it's two times J. So, and the system is much more interesting than that. For instance, yesterday Maciej was already showing the story of Starter. It's a very rich system by itself. But now let's go quickly to the story of the Anderson localization. So we know that we don't want interactions. And the trick that we are using in Florence is to use a condensate, the potassium 39, steel potassium, where the interactions can be tuned nicely because of a very convenient Fischbach resonance. So essentially, you can put the proper value of the magnetic field, and then you can have a Bose-Einstein condensate non-interacting with many other possible applications. But for the purpose of the Anderson localization now, we can practically have our potassium 39 immersed in a magnetic field in order to do the flashback, the flashback resonance. We can have our bichromatic optical lattice. We have some magnetic field for compensating the gravity, and so on. And so we can start, the experiment. And the first experiment that you can imagine is, of course, the one on transport. Means that you can trap in one or two or three sites of that you can do, because this is a non-interacting, non-interacting condensate that you can reduce in our bichromatic, optical lattice. Then you can release the trap, and simply you can observe, diffusion. And the interesting story is that when there is no disorder, the expansion is essentially a ballistic expansion. While instead, when you have enough disorder, which is the appropriate value of disorder, you have a localized system which no longer expands. And somewhere in the middle, you have a transport with a reduced, if you want, a reduced speed. This was a first evidence, and was interesting to see that whatever was the tunneling energy in the main lattice, the one really defining, the crystal, then depending on delta over J, we could see the transition happening, and you see that here we are not exactly at delta over J equal 2, as in the theory, but this is simply because the ratio was not really the most incommensurable as possible, but I will come there later. Now, of course, we know, as already repeated, that with an atom, we have the advantage that we can see the wave function, and so you can really see that when you are localized, the profile is exponential. When you are not localized, the profile is simply, so it was many things were telling us that this was Anderson localization. But I would like now to tell you that the advantage that we have with the atoms is that you can not only monitor a picture of the wave function, but also you can see the momentum. And now it's clear that when the system is delocalized, and then you see the momentum distribution, you expect to see narrow peaks. While instead, when you are in a localized system, then these peaks are no longer narrow. When you see, because the system is well defined in position. And this is exactly what you see. And now, what is the interesting, I think, of the story is that since we have for this system an Hamiltonian, which is the Aubry-André Hamiltonian, then Michele Modugno can easily make the theory for the shape that you expect in the momentum space as a function of increasing disorder, and then you see that really you go from the narrow peaks to the broad structure in agreement, with the theory. So this is an old story, and as already Alain reminded, in the anniversary of Anderson, was a city of 50 anniversary. Is the year of anniversaries this year, eh? And not only for lasers or so on. And however, this is something which was, I think, not the end of the story, but the beginning. Of a new adventure. So open questions. So open questions are many: dimensionalities, the effect of the interaction. The effect of interaction is very tricky, because the role played by interactions in the Anderson localization was something puzzling Anderson himself. Because after all, these electrons, they do interact. So this is an interesting story, to be addressed. And also in this, we are somewhat complementary with La Provence, with Paris and Ballier, because Today you saw some going ahead with different dimensions, and now instead I will show you the effect of of the interaction. Why we can do that? We can do that because, as I told you, we are working with a tunable condensate. So the moment in which we bring the interaction to zero, you see the Anderson. But then if you add a value that you like of the magnetic field, you can go back, to some controlled interaction. So we can control, essentially, the interaction. And also, playing with the shape of the harmonic trap, you can produce the single localized state, but also two, three, four, and also many states. And so this is very interesting because you can start from the Anderson ground state, then you can have a few localized states, one, two, three, four, which are not linked each other, so they have a different localized system. Then when you start to add more interaction, then you start to have a degeneracy in the energy of the two, of the two states, when this becomes comparable with the disorder. And so you start to create some phase link between, you have islands of Bose-Einstein condensate, and then eventually you expect that for even higher interactions, energy, you should recover the coherence all over the system. And this is what really is nicely seen, a particular interesting for one like me coming from the past of laser spectroscopy, because you see this is practically with no interaction, all the different sources of like localized states are not phase locked, each other, so you lose the coherence, while instead adding interaction more and more, at a certain moment you really recover the clear peak structure that we were expecting with the system with a long long coherence. And really you can repeat the experiment several times, and then you have a phase fluctuations. And then you see that when there are no interaction, each source is independent one from the other, while instead when you add interaction, eventually the phase is, they are phase locked. You have all sources which are phase locked. And this is what what's happened. So this is the phase, which is, at a certain moment phase locked. And the related work on this topic was done at Rice by Randy, using also a tunable system. Again, since we can predict the shape, in theory, of what should happen going from the localized to non-localized system, then we can recreate a sort of a diagram where we report disorder versus interactions, and then you see that there is a region which gives you the border between the localized system and the non-localized system, and this is essentially typically when the energy that we are putting is of the order of the delta disorder that we are putting on the system. This is interesting also because you teach me when you have a spectrum in the momentum span, you can do some mathematics with the Fourier transform and so on, and then you can even obtain the correlation function of the system, and this is something that now is working quantitatively, because you see you can report now the correlation length as a function of the energy that we are putting in the system, and then you see that you go from a correlation length on one or two sides, so which is really the system which is localized, to eventually you increase, no? Because you reach eventually the link between two localized states, and this is done for two different values of disorder. And this is also to see that when you have some residual of thermal gas, nothing is happening. The same story is the coefficient on the correlation lanes, which also is showing this sort of transition. So this system, we think that could be an interesting tool to further go in the to further go in the diagnostic of these different, you know, regimes. And this is just right now on the archive. But now, again, inspired by the introduction of Bill, I will also go to another issue. So with the atoms, we can monitor the wave function, and we know that. We can play on the momentum, maybe in distribution. And also, in principle, we could also see the conductivity. I mean, we could measure, the conductivity. Now, I know I'm trying to guess why Bill was saying this tricky. It's tricky is that coming from the past of somebody working with optical lattice, even with non-interacting, we know that there are several reasons for having not really pleasant effect, like, you know, self-trapping or so on, and even more when you add the interaction, because then you have nonlinear phenomena, and so the Gross-Pietrajewski, I think, should work. I mean, we interpreted our instability, dynamical instability, and things like this in the past using the Gross-Pietrajewski. So the story is a little bit tricky. And so when you move from the situation where you are simply seeing a ballistic, expansion of your cloud, these are always potassium 39 atom expanding with no disorder, then you see this ballistic expansion. But then what's happened between the ballistic expansion and the localized system is really difficult to be said. Now, from the experimental point of view, the question is that you really have to work with, should have the possibility of working for a long time on the system, 10, 20 seconds, in order to really see something significant. And so this was a little bit, the real problem that we had. However, we wanted to play with this because the story of the diffusion is very much interesting, because we know the story of Einstein with the Randall work, and then you expect the coefficient in the diffusion, which is just 1/2. Then we also know that there is a possibility of a super diffusive expansion, and the Lévy flies are an example of this. And one of these examples are actually coming from our lab again in Florence, with Diedrich Wiesma is producing a lot of wonderful physics, I think. And there you have exactly these anomalous transport properties, optical super diffuser. This is done with photons, so non-interacting, and so on. But now let's go back to the other possibility around, to go to the subdiffusive expansion, so to have a coefficient which is less than 1/2. And this is essentially created because instead of having a mean free path, higher than the regular one, which is the case of the superdiffusive. Now, we have the situation where particles spend relatively long time trapped in a zone before jumping, to another one. And so this might be the case of this atom that we have in this Anderson localized system that must become at a certain moment, diffusive or sub-diffusive. And and so what we could do is exactly to study this evolution practically repeating the same experiment, opening this amines to this trap, and having the system to expand for 20 seconds in this bichromatic, in this sort of disordered lattices. And of course, there are many theoretical predictions for what should happen. I mean, what we see is that, of course, in absence of interaction, if you monitor the size 10 seconds after the expansion, then you see what we already know. Since the system becomes localized, depending on the disorder, you start from a system which is not localized, and then it is localized, so keeps the size which is at the beginning. And please, here you should see that now we see the transition closer to 2, which was the magic number of Aubry-André, simply because we changed the wavelengths of the laser, and so we are even more far from the precise ratio between the two wavelengths. When instead we add some interaction energy, you see that the system, of course, it becomes localized, but only at higher, level of disorder, and also this, this we know. So practically, the localization is shifted to higher value of J, and this is also consistent with what I already described in the system when we were investigating the scheme. But now we can do more. We can follow in time, this expansion. And so we can report now here the size of the cloud as a function of time. And so should it be a diffusive behavior, then it should be that this would be the curve. Instead, you see that depending on the amount of energy that we put on the system, you see that we are below. We are below, and so now you, of course, you can plot and you can obtain alpha, and work now is underway because you see alpha as a function of the interaction energy, which of course is increasing, is going closer to the famous 0.5, because when you increase the energy, you are recovering, if you want, the superfluid situation, you are going closer. Or also you can study the system changing the main intensity of the optical axis, and then it stay like this. It is easy to say that here we see a difference between a pure random disorder and our disorder, which is a bichromatic type. In fact, there are two predictions in theory, and when we can discriminate between the two. So it seems that in this behavior, there is really an evidence for the correlation between in the disorder that we are using. A final thing that I would like to show is somewhat related to what Jora was saying before. When we study diffusion, conductivity, and this depends that we see from the interaction, now, our clouds are not, homogeneous. They are, Gaussian type. So the center part of the cloud is more energetic, and the other ones are less energetic. So if you are in the Anderson regime, you see the curve that I showed you, the picture of the wave function, while instead, when you have the interaction, you see that you have a certain deformation, on the shape. So to conclude, I would like I hope I've convinced you that we can explore these different regimes. I don't say phases because I would go in problems. I think I've convinced you the beautifulness of the disorder when you can control it by hands, And if you go and see the churches of my hometown in Lecce, you will see that it's all full of disorder, which is controlled. And this is a special gift to Martin. And this is the people, and just 30 seconds. So we have now to really explore disorder in all the ways. So we go to 2 and 3D, time-changing disorder, which could be a system for testing these temperature effects that Boris and Jora was talking, fermions, fermionized bosons, mixtures, and then new atomic species which could offer, different possibilities. The group is enthusiastic. Giovanni Moduno already mentioned it. Giacomo Roati, together with Chiara Forte, is now starting a new experiment on lithium, again, fermions. We have already an experiment going with the terbium. And so Francesco Minardi is taking care of a mixture. So I do hope to show you something new soon. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we have time for a few questions.
So toward the beginning, you told us this this story about Anderson in his Nobel lecture saying this, that making this somewhat unusual comment about the Mott insulator physics leading also to localization, because he was worried about whether interactions would destroy the localization. He was sort of satisfied by this idea that the Mott insulator thing would also lead to localization, so that somehow this would all work out. But you showed us then these results where the exactly the opposite happens. And if I've understood you, one way of understanding this is that, well, interactions lead to superfluidity, and superfluidity then is the opposite of localization. But of course, we know there is such a thing as a Mott insulator, that it goes from a superfluid to a Mott insulator. So could you put the whole thing sort of into a broader picture of when we should think of interactions as localizing, when we should think of them as delocalizing, and
Well, you are asking this question not to the appropriate person, to distinguish the different. Well, what I can say is that from my naive point of view, when Anderson was saying that he was happy with the story of Mott, I think he was wrong, because the Mott insulator, I imagine that it's totally a different story. Really, is caused by this interplay by the inside energy and the tunneling energy. Here, what we are exploring in this work, instead is this region. When you start to add the weak interaction. So probably, if you want, we are exploring exactly which was puzzling, Anderson, because here the story is how does the weak interaction affect, the conductivity of these electrons that they are weakly, interaction. So I think that we are doing some mimic of the system. Solid state. And then of course we describe the system in the way that we do as atomic physicists. We see that when the system is superfluid, in the sense that you delocalize, then you see the interference, and you see the conductivity is not suppressed, and so on. But I think that the Mott insulator is a separate story.
Bill, but let me just address the question that you asked about Anderson's comments. It's a very narrow comment addressing your question. In 1977, when Anderson won the Nobel Prize, he was thinking of fermions, electrons specifically. He was not thinking of bosons. So your question is not even relevant, but I can tell you what he was thinking, which, again, Phil has turned out to be right, which is that the question is very simple, that if you have electrons, then we know disorder localizes it in 1D, and later on it turned out 2D also. but in 3D you need finite disorder. What would happen now if you let the electrons interact, the fermions interact? And the answer, well, this is still an unsolved question in condensed matter physics in the strict, rigorous sense, but to the extent we know, the answer is interaction does not cause delocalization if you have localization, meaning in 1D and 2D, the theorem that all states are localized, which is a very subtle theorem, what is meant by that, to the best of our knowledge, still is remains the same. So this is not for...
We.
No, for all interaction. If the problem cannot be solved exactly because it flows to so-called a strong coupling fixed point which cannot be solved. So what I'm saying... What? No, I'm not talking about bosons. I'm answering Bill's question about... I said I'm making a very narrow comment on Bill's question, okay? For bosons, it's a totally different physics. And as was just commented, for bosons, the problem is solved. So...
Let me take advantage of this question to add something. That this system of the Aubry-André was also realized by the same group that Alain was describing with the photonic crystal, because you can have a bichromatic, I mean, optical lattice. Now, the advantage that we have with atoms is that we can really explore, you know, the effect of non-linearities, but different from the photon, they can do that also with non-linearities. We can with repulsive interaction, as we've done here, but possibly also with, attractive. This is another advantage of... And I think, I don't want to enter, of course, it's not my... not under my possibilities. This debate of the effect of the interaction is only also very recent, you know. Here they have two papers published almost back-to-back. One is telling that the interaction should destroy the localization. The other one say that instead it should happen the contrary. So that is not my, my job to.
This is only related to the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. It's not really what is happening.
Okay.
So in this context, I could add that there was an interesting paper about soliton localization in disorder potential by Cord Müller and colleagues, showing that the interactions. Attractive interaction actually sort of smooths out the disorder and have peculiar behavior.
Yes.
So my question is that, are you trying to make a negative scattering length on potassium 39? Because you have the 1D geometry.
I'll tell you. We have done these experiments with an apparatus which was put under vacuum in 1996. So we were very concerned about the mystery of Bose-Einstein condensate. So we cannot do really so many things. Now we'll be ready, I think, in a month or two, a totally new apparatus devoted to this kind of physics where we can try the attractive potential and everything. And the field, now that Christophe made his questions, of course, the field is really pretty much interesting because then there is the localization of block waves, for instance, Mache together with a group of Hanover, actually. They made some prediction of what should happen. So solitons, everything. So it's...
Just have a comment to the papers that you showed here. The papers are from Pikovsky and Shepelyansky, and the papers from Serge Aubry and Schmoll Fishman. You know, Massimo, just to make the situation clear, that when we study the fluid insulator transition for bosons or fermions, let's say for bosons, then there is always the question whether this nonlinear Schrödinger equation, the Gross-Pitayevsky equation, works for studying this transition. The answer is no. So for studying the fluid insulator transition, this doesn't work. But there is a separate and very interesting question. If I just write down this nonlinear Schrödinger equation, Psi 4 or Gross-Pitayevsky, whatever you wish, what happens, whether it supports, let's say, Anderson localization or destroys Anderson localization? This is true.
Okay, now the comment of Jora is very much interesting. Also because now there is an experiment telling what is happening. So the new theories can be developed in the way that you should find as a result that the you have a destroyment, you have a delocalization. Of the system. So
I just noticed that in your talk,
You refer to a lot of papers,
yes,
which are studying the fluid insulated transition,
yes,
by simply writing down and simulating the Gross-Pitayevsky equation.
Yeah.
We have told many times to those people, don't do these stupid things. But they still do.
This is, you can tell, most of the case you can tell them in Russian.
Okay, we should wrap up. We have to continue to the next talk.
Sorry.
So let's thank Massimo again.
Bonjour.
So the next speaker is Nikolai Prokofiev,
oh,
on
Nikolai.
Solution of the Dirty Boson.